It's time for Sweet Home Cannabama, a show that'll answer all your questions, provide accurate information, and dispel the myths of cannabis. And have your specific questions answered by emailing jennifer@cannabama.com or text or call 343-0106. And now, for all things cannabis in Alabama, here's your host, Jennifer Boozer.
Welcome to the show, everybody. I'm your host, Jennifer Boozer, owner and founder of Cannabama in downtown Mobile. We're located at 558 St. Francis Street. They're in that orange stucco building right there. We are just a block down from Wenzel's and next to where the Delta Bike Project was. And most people are familiar with those landmarks. Our phone number is 251-255-5155. And you can find us on social media on Facebook under Sweet Home Cannabama. I'm Cannabama Jen and at Cannabama on Instagram. Jennifer Isabel, ISBELL, Boozer on Facebook. In case you're looking, everybody says, you know how many Jennifer Boozers there are? I'm like, I know, I don't. So I use my maiden name. Anyway, welcome to the show. Tonight, our co-host is our favorite chef, Tyler. Welcome to the show, Tyler.
Hey, thanks for having me again.
So we want to kind of round out what we did last week when we talked so much about edibles and let you know what's going on. Tonight, we also have a surprise guest from Dropout Bakery, Miss Kaylee. Welcome to the show, Kaylee.
Thank you very much.
So for 420, our listeners know at 420, Dropout Bakery decided, hey, let's work together. And we provided the product, and you guys provided this gorgeous piece of artwork that is edible and made this cake. Tell us a little bit about the cake.
So the flavor was a lime diesel, which means it was infused and then flavored with lime. And then it had 8 pre-rolls as our candles on top.
Yes, and it was so cute. It was just, it looked like a little like tree stump or something. It was so cute. And I none of us got to taste it.
I know, I didn't get to taste it
It
either.
Was a giveaway, but whoever won it, I'm sure they enjoyed it. Every bite. It was what, it was 12 servings or 8 servings, I think?
12 servings.
Yes.
Yeah, and then 50 milligrams per serving, that was really nice. So we had a lot of fun doing that collaboration with y'all. And so tell us a little bit about the event. We're actually going to be there as a vendor, but tell us about the Dropout Bakery Mother's Day event.
So the bakery opens at 10, but all of our vendors will be set up by 9 a.m. So if you guys want to get out early, come shop a little bit, come wait for us to open. We're going to have very yummy pastries. We're going to have a collaboration with Alice Mushroom Chocolates as one of our cookies. And those are functional mushrooms.
Yes, we have functional cannabis.
Yes. So the mushrooms are called Brainstorm. They're for focus and energy, and it'll be a chocolate chip cookie.
Oh, that sounds delicious.
Yes.
What time, you said the bakery opens at 10, but you'll be open, the vendors will be there as early as 9.
Yes.
That'll be us, so now I know what time I have to wake up.
But
yes. Yeah, we'll be out there. I think we're going to have some infused cookies, and we're going to have, I'm going to hit up my friend Brooks, who had that amazing sold-out lemonade at 420, and we'll bring some lemonade to infuse.
Oh, yes.
But there are going to be other vendors. You said ginger and spice.
Ginger
you know,
and
some
spice
of the other
juicery. There also will be LF Clothing, Cane Brew, Sweet Tea, a couple others as well. Some boutiques,
yeah.
Flowers. We'll also have a butter bouquet, which will be fresh flowers with our butter croissants.
I saw it, too.
Yes.
It's so cute.
Yes. I know. We're so excited.
Well, thank you for coming on and telling us about this. And also, y'all are going to be one of the stops during the Bienville Bites brunch tour for Mother's Day as well.
Yes, correct.
So we'll be seeing people. If you've planned on being a part of the Bienville Bites brunch tour, then you'll be seeing us as well. So thank you so much, and we thank the folks at Dropout Bakery.
Thank you for having me.
All right, so Tyler, let's give something away tonight. We're gonna give away a brownie mix.
Oh, okay.
So you can take this home, just like a Betty Crocker, and oil, eggs, water, whatever the implements are, and mix it together, and it makes 12 infused brownies. So we're going to give away a brownie mix. And how do you get a brownie mix? You got to email us.
So we're going to be at Cannabama Co. @gmail.com. So if you want to enter the contest, you're going to have to email us at that email.
Yes, and I mean, I'd like to go and check my email in about 45 minutes and find somebody that can win this prize. We're going to give it to our producer, and he's going to mix it up, and we're going to do a drawing.
That's right.
So that's CANNABAMACO, CannabamaCo, @gmail.com. So email us. And while you're emailing us, ask for information about our cooking classes coming up.
Yeah, so we're going to have a couple of cooking classes coming up during the summer. We're going to try to do some summer-themed cooking classes. I have a couple of menus that I've been kind of working on to kind of give you guys a preview of what is rattling around in my head of what I'd like to teach you guys how to cook. As far as summer cooking classes go, we're thinking about a caprese salad skewer, probably some lemon garlic shrimp pasta with some chocolate truffles. Maybe some avocado toast bites with some chicken Alfredo and strawberry lemonade.
Wow.
Maybe we could go with guacamole, infused guacamole and beef tacos with key lime pie bites or something.
Okay,
there.
So this isn't let's bake weed cookies.
No, we're going to be doing like things you would...
Grown-up food.
Things you would normally eat. For your everyday meal, and that's kind of the point of the cooking class.
Okay, my everyday meals aren't that nice.
Well, the idea is to use these lessons to not just learn these recipes, but learn these techniques.
Right.
Take these techniques home with your infused food, and the next time you go to make spaghetti, remember the chicken Alfredo that we made. Remember the shrimp pasta
because,
that we made.
Yeah, I only know what I've learned from my mom and my grandmother and people that have taught me how to cook things. There's so many techniques, tools, and ways to do things that you could really value learning from a professional chef.
So when you're,
I didn't think about
when
that.
You're thinking about signing up, or if you're thinking about it, if you're on the fence about it, don't think of this as I'm going to come in and I'm going to get some infused food kind of thing, and then you're just going to have a good time. I mean, you're going to have a great time. You're going to get some infused foods. Those are the things that are going to happen. But if you think about this as a learning experience that you can use for the rest of your life.
Right.
It's an investment in yourself. It's an investment in your talents. It's an investment in your culinary repertoire.
I think it would make a super cool date night.
That would be really cool. I would love to have some
seriously.
Couples out there. You know, we could even have some interactions between different people.
Mm-hmm.
We could even swap some ingredients up.
Who knows? This might lead to, like, bake-offs and stuff.
It'd be really cool. I'd love to have some pupils go up against each other.
Well, and next 420, we could set up, like, those 4-H tents at the fair where you judge the best apple pie in the county.
That'd be really cool. I would love to be able to teach enough people
absolutely.
How to do this. That a lot of people could be able to participate in a contest of that magnitude.
Right. And you know, the method of consumption that we're discussing has so much value because it does sort of take away from the image of a drug.
Yeah.
You know?
And I don't want people to think, you know, of course we can make pot brownies. We can make cookies. We can make, you know, whatever you want. But if you want to make... some short ribs, or you want to make some beef tips and rice, or you want to make some General Tso's chicken, you want to make chicken Alfredo, whatever it is that you want to make in any style, we're going to be able to show you how to do those techniques and make whatever you want.
With whatever product makes sense for that method.
Exactly.
And the desired effect, of course, and we'll talk about things like potency. We'll talk about things like how to make sure that you're balanced.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have four infused items, two of them need to be CBD.
And
not
just
THC.
That, but one of the main things we'll talk about is food safety.
Mm-hmm.
So keeping these items separate, completely different from anything that you're normally cooking,
right.
Whether that be with whether you're living with other people, young ones, elderly people, or anything like that, we're going to teach you how to keep everything separate, buying new equipment for things, you know, just keeping all your bowls and utensils that you use for these equipments completely, completely different than anything else.
But, you know, it just like when you have, you know, people that are consuming alcohol, there's always going to be people that are teetotalers.
Mm-hmm.
There's always going to be people that get drunk and act belligerent. But then there's the people that know they have a 2-drink minimum and they're pretty pleasant and then
right.
they go home. These are the people we're talking to here.
Right. So,
you know, these are the kind of experiences we want. We want it to be so that people can experience the plant and experience it as food. Because everybody, you have to eat. People love to eat. food is creative. Food brings people together. So does cannabis. It's really, it can elevate a lot of experiences and then add a fun recreational, even though I hate that word, aspect without involving something that is toxic like alcohol.
So what I would like to see is maybe some people texting in, calling in, letting us know what would they like to see.
Right.
What would they like to learn how to cook?
Any items that, yeah, so what sounds good to
you? Yeah, you want to make a mocktail? You want to learn how to do a mocktail bar? You know, something like that? Do you want to do whatever it is? Just let us know.
Email us at cannabamaco@gmail.com, and we'll be right back.
Welcome back to Sweet Home Cannabama. Now with all the information you want about cannabis, here's your host, Jennifer Booser.
Welcome back, everybody. Tonight, I'm here with Chef Tyler. Every Monday night, you can hear us at 7 o'clock right here on FM Talk 106.5. You can live stream from the website for FMTalk1065.com, I believe. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, you can find it as a podcast on any major streaming service once the show has aired, because we are live. Mm-hmm. So probably after 9 p.m., you know, I get this link from Phil, which tells me it's up. Thank you, Phil, every Monday night. And then, of course, we'll be posting the link for that, the audio boom link for the show on the Sweet Home Cannabama page, my page, whoever is willing to put it on their page. Okay, so let's, real quick, some housekeeping.
Right.
No changes to HB 65, the vape ban bill.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's cared to even discuss SB 42, which is the expungement and decriminalization bill. And SB 276, not really, nothing going on that we know of. There's only, I think, 3 session days left. They have until May 20th to take those days.
So what do you think is going to happen?
I don't know. I feel like, I don't know. I don't know. It's awful quiet.
Yeah.
On my end, where we're watching things happen, it's just gotten dead silent lately. I haven't heard from any of my lobbyist friends outside of my group that I speak to every day. And so we, you know, we have not heard anything about it. I know a lot of people are upset, and I can't imagine that they would be able to debate it and get it through both houses before the end of the session with 3 days left. And I guess if it dies on the floor, we just keep going with all the lawsuits. I don't really know. Nobody tells me anything. So let's talk about something we do know.
Right.
Rescheduling.
So it's been in the news a lot lately. I'm sure a lot of people have seen something in the news about this DEA coming out and saying that they do agree with all the studies that have been coming out. So it looks like we're going to be looking at a rescheduling of marijuana.
Right. So Biden brought this up. Right. You know, and said, oh, we should reschedule it, and we should expunge all the federal, you know, I guess possession, nonviolent. There aren't any federal prisoners for, you know, possession, I don't think. That's
so
not a felony level.
We're looking for.
So it doesn't free anybody from
right.
prison.
So let's compare the two. What rescheduling versus descheduling.
Okay, so yeah, so the bad point, let's talk about.
Yeah.
For rescheduling, that means, and by the way, recap, making it from a Schedule 1, meaning it has no medicinal quality, highly addictive. They moved it from that. If they move it from that to Schedule 3,
yeah,
that
so
sounds
schedule,
like
schedule
progress.
Schedule 1 has things like heroin, LSD.
Heroin and LSD, mm-hmm. right. So Schedule 3 has,
I think
that's still higher than Xanax, I think.
Yeah.
Cocaine.
Mm-hmm.
Cocaine is Schedule 3.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't understand, because none of that makes sense. Oh, they should all be just about as bad. Maybe fentanyl needs its own category. But anyway, rescheduling would make it prescribable.
Mm.
And then you start talking about, well, what does that mean? Because up to now, it's not prescribable because it's federally illegal.
Right. Okay.
And we don't want this to go all the industry that is in place and the industry that is being born in states like Alabama, You know, though, no, I don't know if any of those people would be left standing.
So let's kind of visualize it for them. So in some of these places where you can go and talk to a doctor and get approved for a prescription and then go into a dispensary and get some marijuana, is that the same thing that we're looking at? Or are we looking at?
Well, no, I mean, you can't get a prescription. When you go, you go to the doctor and they say, you check all the boxes. I'm going to recommend you for or approve your status
of a cannabis card,
right? To get a medical marijuana card, you can take this, or I think you have to go to a separate place. I don't know,
and get the card.
But you take the card to the dispensary. They cannot recommend what type of product, how much product, how often.
So then it's up to you as a user to go.
And neither can the dispensary, unless I think they have a licensed pharmacist or a doctor or somebody there. Neither can the dispensary, so you will be kind of on your own, but.
But we're not really looking at that here.
No. Well, I think what this would mean is that the bigger pharmaceutical companies would end up coming in and swooping it up if it's prescribable only.
Yeah, I was.
And what does that do to the state programs? You know, we don't know. It's too vague.
I was even hearing the CEO of Raw Paper Rolling Company. He had a whole video posted up about we don't want to reschedule. We want to
deschedule. Right.
Because at that point, any pharmaceutical company could start growing the marijuana themselves.
Right.
They could charge you $250 a gram, and then with insurance, you might pay $20 a gram.
Well, that's another thing. Does it make it insurable?
Right.
You know, and they're not going to let people that like us that have a dispensary stay in business.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so and then of course, anytime you give it over to the government and the pharmaceutical companies, they'll do like what they did to tobacco.
Mm-hmm.
You grew tobacco, you dried it, you smoked it, and now it's got 500 chemicals in it. It'll be like that because they'll want to have their cake and eat it too.
You have to go pick up your marijuana from Walgreens.
They want your weed money, but they're going to make sure it still makes you sick enough that you need their pills.
Well, I guess the good news, if you have to go pick up your marijuana from Walgreens, they'll give you enough receipt paper you could roll a joint with it.
Okay, so we are not for this. We are not. We do not support it. We don't recommend rescheduling cannabis. Okay, if they're going to recognize that it does have medicinal value and that it is less addictive than they claimed all these years,
they need to take their hands out of the money.
They need to go on ahead and just let it be.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't support any of that. We do support descheduling, and so this I just saw this today. So this is hot off the press,
right?
Okay, and in this article, and so we're going to give you the breakdown. I'll read this. It says Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, along with Senators Ron Wyden, who is from Oregon, and Cory Booker from New Jersey, reintroduced the Cannabis Administration and Opportunity Act, advocating for cannabis reform. The act aims to dismantle federal marijuana prohibition, expunge past convictions, and provide restorative justice. Despite widespread public support for cannabis legalization, the bill's passage this year faces challenges due to political divisions and Republican opposition. The reintroduction of the bill coincides with discussions about reclassifying cannabis to ease restrictions and financial burdens. And so basically, this would take it off of the schedule altogether. And it would immediately expunge nonviolent cannabis convictions, and it would release a lot of prisoners.
Wow. That'd be great news.
Right. And then it stands to reason that it would be an open market.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how state laws come into play, but if it's not a federal crime, you know, can states, I don't know. This is where it gets like, can a state say that, you know, of course, Alabama would be the state to say no.
Exactly. You would be the one.
So these, they've reintroduced this. This originally was introduced in 2022, I believe.
Right.
And they're trying to dismantle federal prohibition and, you know, expunge these convictions. And then I even read provide grants, I think, to people who have been a victim of being imprisoned over the plant, especially during the last several years where there's actual way to make money at this and get state-sanctioned licenses and stuff, you know, to help them reintegrate into society and kind of, you know, right the wrong.
Well, I know just like every other bill that goes up, you know, despite having a lot of public support for the cannabis legalization, I'm sure there's tons of opposition on both sides. Because some people just want to get all the money for it, and some people want it's a lot on both sides to kind of see exactly what the issues are. But I think if everybody was to just kind of come together and just like you were saying, just say this is just a plant that we need to be able to do what we want to with it as the people, to be able to do with this plant as we please. I think that's exactly the direction that we need to be going. And when it comes down to monetizing all of this, I think that's the place where a lot of people kind of get too greedy with it. You know what I'm saying? I think.
Well, I mean, there's always going to be money involved.
Yeah.
Because there's always going to be a demand.
I'm saying on the political side of it.
Right. But money drives all that. That's the disgusting part, is that nobody that can do something about it individually, like no one who's in enough of a position of power to really influence this situation cares at all about people being sick, people needing it, mental health, you know, physical health. No, they don't care about that.
Yeah.
They don't care about that. The people that care about that, that are willing, like us, to sit here and slog away at it, we don't have the, you know, dump truck full of money behind us.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, did they start out like us and end up that way? Or, you know, like, surely one of us could find a way to break the glass ceiling, but that's how it seems, you know?
Yeah, exactly. It just seems like you can keep yelling at it, but it's not going to.
Well, it's like 10,000 little guys is nothing compared to one really big guy, you know, probably times 10. So, I mean, you know, I don't know, but this seems like the most logical thing to do. I think, you know, that saying, oh, let's reschedule, is kind of like when he got up there and said, let's forgive all the student loans.
Right.
Did anybody get their student loan forgiven?
You think it was just for shock value?
I think it is. Mm. I think it's for favorable opinion in the press by large groups of people.
Kind of see how it drives the votes.
I mean, and I try not to just overburden people with my political opinion, but, you know, I mean, he needs something.
Yeah.
He can't just go out there and say, let's keep doing what we're doing. You know, he needs something, and cannabis is a valuable thing. You know, maybe the other side should say, well, why reschedule when you can deschedule? That would be my campaign motto. In a minute, we'll be back with more crazy. Stay with us.
Welcome back to Sweet Home Cannabama. Now with all the information you want about cannabis, here's your host, Jennifer Booser.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Sweet Home Cannabama right here on FM Talk 106.5 every Monday night at 7. You can call the show if you have something to add, 251-343-0106, or text us. You know, I don't know why people don't really want to talk to us.
We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to hear what you got to say.
We really, really would. Mm-hmm. Even if you're that heckler guy from last time.
That's fine.
Right. You know, let's talk about it. Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's get into this a little bit more. We're talking about rescheduling. You know, we have these bullet points we have written down.
Right.
So, okay, here we go. The DEA plans to reclassify marijuana as a less dangerous drug.
Right.
Acknowledging its medical uses and lower potential for abuse. That's good, right? Sounds great.
That sounds great.
Right. Okay, so the proposal, supported by the Justice Department and the Attorney General, follows President Biden's call for a review of federal marijuana laws and efforts to pardon Americans convicted of simple possession. Except there are no federal prisoners for simple possession. That's not a felony. That's a state and local, that's not a felony.
And it looks like, despite concerns, this move reflects change of good attitudes towards marijuana, and it's changing the widespread public support for legalization.
Which is good.
All right.
But anything like this is good as long as the conversation is going in one direction and not back the other way.
Yeah, but it sounds like we still have some issues in the way, like navigating internally. International treaty obligations and regulatory hurdles, right?
Right. I mean, there's that word again, regulation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't want to regulate us, but then they want to say, well, they're not regulated.
Mm-hmm.
Well, regulate us.
Yeah, you imagine know? Imagine getting some, let me see, some Pfizer Kush. Some Moderna Gorilla Glue, you
some,
know, like.
Yeah, some. Oh my God.
I don't think anybody wants to smoke that.
Bear OG because oh, yeah. Bear started it.
Oh, yeah, the Bear OG. Oh
Bear
my goodness.
OG.
I heard some terrible stuff about Bear back in the day.
Oh, well, mm-hmm. Yeah, no, but they were all in league back then. The DuPont Chemicals.
Yeah,
and
DuPont.
William Randolph Hearst and all the newspapers. And forestry people, I mean, the Congress, everything. It was all senator. Mm. I think he was a senator. Anyway, all of that, you know, that sounds good that it would make it less dangerous and acknowledging. I'm like, we didn't need you to acknowledge that it had medicinal effects because we already knew that, you know. And it's like you're asking for something that's reasonable.
Right.
That you should have, that we used to have. But they took it away from us, and we're just asking for it back, even though we shouldn't
well,
have had to ask.
And it sounds like they're trying to sugarcoat it, because it sounds like...
Well, they're giving you, like, a hamburger, but the meat is rotten on the inside.
Right.
And
or it's got a big old hole in the inside, and all you got's the crust.
Or when you eat it, you're going to die.
Yeah. That'd be terrible.
You know, it's like, wait, what?
Yeah, but it looks like they're kind of just polishing the turd by saying that, you know, they're just going
to
have
you
a...
You know what? That's very eloquent of you to say.
They're going to have a direct impact on the criminal justice system. They're going to move widespread ranging implication on drug policy, and we're possibly open up the window to more research. For
well,
marijuana.
Okay, so here's the two main things they're pushing is mm-hmm. It will make it easier to research. That's mm-hmm. great. But the U.S. has funded research, all of the cannabis research,
right,
out of Jerusalem with Dr. Raphael Mashulam since 1965.
I was going to say, for a long time.
So surely if we paid for it, we own it.
And just for a quick reminder, who was that lovely gentleman that passed away a year ago, right?
Yeah, it's been, mm-hmm. I don't know if it's been a whole year, but yes, mm-hmm. he's recently. The godfather of cannabis. He discovered the molecular structure mm-hmm. of THC. He did all of this groundbreaking stuff, figured out what CBD was useful for, what THC was useful for, and he was the guru.
So if you don't know this man, whenever you speak his name, put some respect on it.
That's right. That's right. But, you know, the U.S. funded all his research. You know, so that's when somebody in a white coat who may or may not even just be an actor mm-hmm. says, oh, we need more research. I don't believe we do.
Right.
But anyway, that's a good positive move to make it easier for universities to study it. And it's great if they're going to create some sort of a tax bracket for cannabis businesses that they haven't been able to get. But what tax breaks do you need if you are out of business?
So tell us what the critics are saying against rescheduling.
Well, they're going to dismantle the established industry. Mm-hmm. You know, there are people in California and Oregon and Colorado who have been at this for 20 plus years longer. Mm-hmm. You know, and businesses like my business isn't exactly brand new. You know, I've been here almost 6 years. And it's gonna wipe all that out if it's allowable as a prescription. Mm-hmm. There's just no way they're going to keep the structure of things like it is. And they're going to say, well, we're going to allow you to have it, but on our terms, mm-hmm. our conditions. And those conditions will mm-hmm. mean maximum input into their pockets, not ours. Not, you know, we know how this is going to go.
A boot on the neck action.
Yeah. So, but it leaves it wide open for big corporations and the pharmaceutical industry, you know, to come in and take it over.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, they're the reason that most of us need cannabis.
So you're saying it sounds like freedom, but it's not.
No, and it doesn't change anything for banking.
Mm-hmm.
It changes nothing because it doesn't legalize it.
Right.
So it's still federally illegal, and it doesn't decriminalize it. So you're still going to go to jail, and it does not expunge anybody's record. So none of those things that we actually need, no one's going free,
mm-hmm.
you know. And it's a political ploy, if you ask me. I really do. I think it's just, like I said, it's not even a carrot and stick thing because the carrot's been gnawed on, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then let's don't be desperate and take it, you know, let's say that's not good enough, you know, that's not good enough. And I believe that this new legislation that Chuck Schumer has introduced with Senators Wyden and Booker, I believe that that is what looks like what we need to do. This, I see nothing so far, and this is brand new.
And if you want to look up some information on it yourself, it's called the Cannabis Administration and Opportunity Act.
Yes, and this, like I said, it was introduced in 2022, and I don't know anything about it. Mm-hmm. I just found this article, what, 5 hours ago? And so I'm trying to learn what this is and what's going on. But they're definitely going to include expungement. And it would be like an immediate decriminalization because there's no crime being committed.
Right, exactly.
You know, and then businesses like mine can get banking, can get all that, you know, because they said even with these pieces of legislation, whether it's rescheduling or descheduling, they're still are going to have to pass the Safe Banking Act.
Well, it sounds like we all need to do a little bit more research and see exactly what these people are offering whenever they say, oh, we have a great deal for you. Because when you really look into it, and it's really shallow and really empty of an offer.
That or buried deep down somewhere in there. Mm-hmm. I was just talking to my employee about this earlier. I'm like, you get these great bills that people, that these people know the people are going to want this.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to say, oh, less restriction on cannabis, and they're going to flood.
Mm-hmm. Well, the
but
only,
it's actually like a trick.
The only metaphor I can think of is you ever got one of those like Easter bunnies that were came in the little foil pack, and you open it up, and mm-hmm. oh man, it's got the little candy eyes, and it's got all this detail mm-hmm. and all this great stuff. And you bite into it, and it's just
empty.
It's just hollow.
Yeah,
and the chocolate's not good.
And the
it's
googly
like,
eyes
it's like,
taste like chocolate.
Oh my god, that's what I feel like this is gonna be. You're gonna bite into that. You're gonna go and try your Pfizer bud, your Moderna
your
Gorilla
Bayer
Glue,
OG.
And you're going to be like, man, this is terrible. This is dirt. This is not good. Or it tastes chemically. It tastes artificial, mm-hmm. you know? And it's not going to be the same. So
right.
if you're interested at all into trying to help decriminalize or deschedule this at all, you can help us by joining our little movements that we have going on.
Right, and follow us because we're always into some trouble.
And one of the the biggest people we're trying to help right now is still, I'm sure you guys have heard us say it a lot, but Boro Hemp.
That's right. And we're going to talk to them in the last segment.
That's right. Mm.
One thing I want to say, I read an article about the lottery and why the lottery has, you know, missed every time. Why can't we get a lottery voted
for?
Everybody wants the lottery. And this article was saying that most people believe that it is religious, extreme people, and super conservative.
But what about Florida,
but it's not.
Tennessee, and Georgia? They have a lot of religious people there.
Exactly. It's not the religious right wing. Mm-hmm. It is special interests.
Mm-hmm.
It was talking about the people that are opposed to it, and some of those are people who have tribal land where they have the Indian casinos. They don't want competition.
Right.
And even the people in Mississippi, the gambling that goes on in Mississippi, the state of Mississippi, is you know, trying to keep it from happening in Alabama because we're right next door.
Right. Everybody goes over
it's
there.
It's 45 minutes right now from where we sit to the gambling.
I could probably name, you know, 15 people off the top of my head that would go to Biloxi in a minute if I asked them to.
Right. So, but I said, oh my gosh, this is the same thing with cannabis. I hear it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
It's Christians. It's Bible thumpers. It's blah, blah. It's not, you know. And sometimes it hurts my feelings because I'm a conservative, you know, compared to most people. I'm not extreme. I wouldn't call myself a Republican for sure. But I'm a Christian, you know. Mm-hmm. Everybody that listens to this show at length knows that about me. And I'm like, y'all, it's really not. It's not religious people trying to keep cannabis out of Alabama. It's big tobacco. Mm-hmm. It's big pharma. It's all sorts of people. And I guarantee you the states around us are throwing in on it.
Of course.
Because why not? They get
us
all our lottery money. Why not get all our weed, too?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I think that that's a big point that needs to be made because so many people assume, and so they don't act in a different way. people aren't going to write a letter to their Christian neighbor, but they can write a letter to their senator.
Well, speaking about people who are trying to come in from different states, I know TrueLeave is trying trying to peek in.
No, Alabama. Yeah, TrueLeave has plowed through the Southeast.
Oh.
Yeah. Anyway, I don't know if anybody who owns TrueLeave lives in Alabama, so I'd love to see who their majority owner is on paper.
That'd be fantastic.
15 years residency, provable residency. So I would like to see who in the TrueLeave ownership, in majority ownership, lives in 7 different states.
Right.
But we may be the only ones that have a residency requirement, but still, that's enough, you know. They started in Florida if they were from here, you know. But anyway, I just want to make sure that you guys understand. And when we come back from the break, we're going to talk about another way that we've spoken about before, that the government is really trying to take over and make their own rules. And I guess in Alabama, we're not above the abuse of power from the Attorney General's office to allow the health department to come down on our friends like they have. But, you know, I still, would somebody please, I'm sincerely asking you this, someone please email me, jennifer@canabama.com, and explain to me how in the world the health department can send a piece of paper that has an untrue statement on it, like it's illegal in Alabama, that has no basis in law, can then, can shut a business down and then cause them to have to sue. And tell me how that's possible.
I have no idea.
When we come back, we'll speak with Gordon from Borohemp. Stay with us.
Welcome back to Sweet Home Cannabama. Now with all the information you want about cannabis, here's your host, Jennifer Booser.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. Tonight I'm here with Chef Tyler Powell, and we've been talking about rescheduling and descheduling cannabis, and now we want to get a checkup with our friends at Borohemp. Tonight we're going to be speaking with Gordon Tinsley, one of the co-founders of Borohemp there in Boaz, Alabama. Welcome to the show, Gordon.
Hey, Jennifer, how are y'all?
We're good. We want to know how you are. I was on Pins and Needles last week, and I was trying not to bug Stacy. but I would love for you to tell us all, how court went last week and what's going to be happening.
Well, technically right now what we've done is we was able to buy us a little bit more time.
Mm-hmm.
So we filed an extension, and so we have an extension until June 1st.
Okay.
Which is hopefully going to be able to create, you know, some help on the legal aspect of everything.
Mm-hmm.
We have, just to be honest with you, we've had very little help come through
As
far as, you know, to helping with the legal monstrosity that we're facing right now.
Right.
Stacy has actually went up to Champs up in Atlantic City this week, so she is there. So if anybody would like to talk to her and it happens to be there at the same time, she is trying to field some meetings and meet with other people in the industry to kind of let them know what's going on and where we stand at.
Right. And Champs, just right for the now, people that don't know, Champs is a cannabis expo where people like me go and look at what products I might want to carry in my store and then, you know, collaborate between businesses as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a huge trade expo. They put on several a year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether it's Vegas or Atlantic City or someplace like that. But
yeah.
She's up there this week. It's running all week this week. So if you've got somebody in the area and have a few minutes, we'd love to be able to have, you know, schedule a time for her to be able to sit down and talk to you guys and let you guys know what's going on. But right now we did have a few donations come in. We've had a few folks really step up and donated. I want to say there was 3 or 4 companies donated, you know, $4,000 or $5,000.
Oh wow!
Which is going to help us get to the next, you know, to the next phase. I mean,
yeah.
You know, our ultimate goal right now, last I remember hearing, somewhere around the 150,000 mark to be able to get it all the way across the goal line.
Oh yeah.
But you got to realize, you know, we're anticipating to win is in this next phase. We anticipate to win this next phase, and then that the state to automatically turn around and appeal it to the Alabama Supreme Court.
Right. Even if they lose, which they should, they're going to continue to abuse the situation through the court system, wasting taxpayer dollars, by the way.
Well, you know, their thought is they know that we're a small company and they can just run us out of money eventually.
Right. Right.
That's the way of the government, and I don't want to get off into that tirade or nothing like that. But
yeah.
You know, they ultimately have way more money than the average person does, for sure.
Correct. Yeah, I know that. And just look at the way that money being thrown around is affecting the medical cannabis program right now, and all the lawsuits. And you know, there are companies that are big enough to wait everybody else out and drive everybody else into the ground. And that's really sad that's the focus and not the patient, you know. I would love to be able to – was there any – in this whole proceeding, were y'all ever deposed or asked about, you know, the efficacy of your products or the way you manufacture them or investigate all your customers to see who had adverse reactions or not? To see that what you're doing and have been doing for years is absolutely harmless?
Well, you know, so the state of Alabama is basically trying to say that this is a health risk.
Right.
But if it was a true health risk, wouldn't they go after everybody instead of one company?
Right.
So that must mean
you guys are the only ones risking their health in some kind of way that makes you special, because we all have the same thing.
Yeah,
and that's the thing is, you know, if they was really, really concerned about a health risk of the products that we're putting out, which is ultimately what they're wanting to say, because they say that the FDA doesn't classify cannabinoids as grass, generally recognized as safe.
Mm-hmm.
So they're saying that because it's not recognized as grass, that it's imposing a danger on the consumers and the public, general public.
Right.
But the fact is anybody that's within the industry knows that that's a false claim. There's never been any report of anybody ODing off of cannabinoids, whether it's CBD or CBN or CBG or Delta 8 or Delta 9.
Right.
It's just not something that's on the market and it's ever happened before.
If it was even a moderate legitimate health risk, none of us would still be in business by now. Even if it was one out of every 100, after the first few, we'd be done.
Yeah.
You know, and this is the thing is too, you know, they're not targeting just the euphoric products, whether it be Delta 8 or Delta 9 or Delta 10 or any of the other gazillion that's on the market now. They're targeting everything.
Right.
You know what I mean? So any cannabinoid, whether it's CBD or CBG or CBN,
and yet they are also simultaneously, the state is going to sell those very same cannabinoids at a 30-something percent tax rate.
Yeah.
The same exact chemicals.
Exactly. Exactly.
And to kind of hear it from the horse's mouth, Gordon, tell the people exactly like what this lawsuit could mean for you guys, worst case scenario, and then let us all know what your dream scenario would be.
So the worst case scenario obviously is going to be that the state of Alabama is going to come into our facility in Gadsden, Alabama, and shut us down.
Mm-hmm.
If we lose this, we anticipate the sheriff's office to show up.
They're going to act a full donkey.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we expect them to show up immediately and basically take us away to jail.
Right.
That's what we expect.
So that everybody else they approach falls in line.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so ultimately what's going to happen is that's going to create a windfall effect that you're not going to be able to manufacture. And it's, they're not just saying that we can't manufacture these products in the state of
can't
Alabama.
Sell them.
We can't sell them.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we can't sell them, a government entity cannot target one person and say, well, these people can do this, but you can't.
Right.
That's against the law. So if they said that we can't sell it, they're going to say that every small business in the state of Alabama, whether it's a gas station, a head shop, a smoke shop, shop, a pure CBD store, or any of that.
And
stuff,
that is Steve Marshall. That is the Attorney General's dream scenario, is that all of us would simultaneously go down at the same time, and he could stand on his stupid, this is like an opioid crisis book, and run for governor.
So, and also, so give me about a 30-second or 40-second dream scenario for you.
The dream scenario would ultimately be that the judges can come back and say that we're within the legal law, because we feel that we 100% are. And then the state ultimately backs up and leaves us alone. That's ultimately all we want, is the state to leave us alone, let us, you know, continue business and continue to work, and let this budding industry that is taking a hold all across the country, not just in the state of Alabama, but this industry that is helping people and showing people an alternative way to pharmaceuticals,
right,
to be healthy and to have a pain-free life. And that's the dream scenario.
Yeah, I think that's what everybody would like. Yeah.
I think the hypocrisy of the fact that the state is allowing this to be done and doing it is the same state that issued you a license to do it.
Yes.
And that you've paid for and still have a valid license for. That's the lunacy of it all. That's what makes me say, people, wake up. Everybody, you can find Boro Hemp's contact information to get involved. Again, I challenge, Cannabama might have only raised $800, but we tried as hard as you can try, and everybody should try that hard. This will affect you, and this will affect your ability to even stay in business. Forget not being able to meet your customers' needs. You're not going to eat.
And don't forget to sign up at CannabamaCo.com. CannabamaCo@gmail.com to sign up for our culinary classes and to enter for the brownie mix giveaway.
Yes, I will post the brownie mix giveaway tomorrow. Thank you, Gordon, for being willing to call and check in with us and tell us what's going on. We're praying for you. And we're still raising money a little bit at a time down here. We're not going to stop. And I think I'm going to come up there next week. Mm-hmm. I haven't even confirmed it, but I would like to come up there and visit y'all and come and report back. Join us next week.
The only day I would suggest don't come is Tuesday.
Okay. Tuesday.
Well, thank you, Gordon.
Join us next week on Sweet Home Cannabama. Good night.